August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello and welcome to Rebellion Radio episode number 13. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Leah Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're sorry about the delay for this episode. I'm not even going to make an excuse for it. We just dropped the ball and we're extremely sorry about that. I don't even know what happened. I mean, you know that feeling like when you're on break, everything, you have like no work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That feeling just lasted from the end of the last episode to like right when we had to record this episode.
Well, this is your work. You work here.
I know. I mean, I almost got fired for this mess up, but
we're very sorry.
We got pay cuts.
Yeah,
it wasn't good.
It was horrible.
It was not pretty. I gotta feed the family here. thanks for your patience and thanks for downloading. We have a ton of interesting news and a lot of emails. Like we have had our email box has literally been blowing up with emails, and we have chapter chat chapters 19 and 20. So, April, why don't you read off the next announcement?
If you haven't already, please review us on iTunes because it helps us and it warms our hearts because we just love getting reviews.
Yes, please leave us a review. It actually helps a ton. Every time I see one, it warms my heart. Even if it's a bad one, I'm just like, it's fine. It's a review. So if you haven't already, please do that. You can find iTunes link on our website or just look us up in actual iTunes. And another announcement I wanted to address was Pan Am Poetry. First of all, we're sorry if your poem was not chosen, but we decided to cancel that segment because it turns out when you have a poem prompt, nobody actually emails in thought-provoking emails. They just email in poems, which is great, but we can't have just that.
Yeah, I think
unless
so.
It's a really good poem prompt. Like, if it, passed, it would be, criminal if we didn't do it.
Yeah, we're not gonna have it, it's gonna be, if we need, a special poem, we might have it every so often, but as of now, Pan Am Poetry is no more.
It's destroyed. We,
anyway,
we killed it with fire.
Let's move on. Okay, whoa. We incinerated it.
It caught fire.
Thanks for submitting your poems about Haymitch's hair. We do read all of them. I do, at least.
Yeah.
So, your day did not go unnoticed. So, let's move right into the news this week. April, I think this is an appropriate news story for you to start out with. Why don't you go ahead and take that one?
I was really hoping you would make me do this. Okay, so Taylor Swift released a song for the Hunger Games soundtrack. It was called Safe and Sound, and it was number one on iTunes in 12 hours. And the song is amazing, and it's perfect for so many parts in the movie, and for one specific part kind of sticks out in my mind. And it's haunting, and it's beautiful, and it's just amazing, and I'm so happy she's on the soundtrack.
OMG!
What's so funny is Hurley was making fun of me last time. He was like, oh, it's so stupid. You picked Taylor Swift for the rock song. Ha 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 ha. And then look what happened, the day after this is released. And I'm like, what? Sorry, Hurley. But just, yeah. It's so funny.
Okay. I have to give you credit. Taylor Swift. Yeah. See, because when we released last episode, I'm like, okay, Taylor Swift. And I'm putting the song in, and I'm like, look at the news. I'm like, Taylor Swift releases Hunger Games soundtrack song. I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, good job, Elena. As for the actual song, yeah, I'm okay. I guess it's fine, you know. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan or Swifty or whatever they're called, but
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's nice. What scene do you think it fits in?
Rue's death.
I was thinking more this is goes into the emails that people sent us, but somebody said when Katniss and Rue first get together to, like, become allies and stuff. Or, I think somebody also said, like, when Katniss is nursing Peeta back to health in the cave. Mm-hmm. So either of those could work. Something like that. For me, I think it's, like, the song by itself, like, if it wasn't in the Hunger Games, I wouldn't like it that much. I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan. But, knowing that, like, I just want to see where it is in the context of the movie, and I'll probably like it a lot better. But it's cute. I like it, I guess.
I don't understand, like, how people connect it to the Peeta and Katniss thing, because, yeah, it's all about being safe, and they're, like, together in a cave, like, ooh. But it's not... That song is, like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's more about, like, death, which is sad. But it's kind of true, and it has, like, lines from Rue's death in it, and I think I don't understand the Katniss and Peeta, besides the title of the song.
Okay, so I have three things to say. First of all, I just want to point out, it's also featuring a band called The Civil Wars, and a lot of people have been saying that a lot of their sound has been in this. So there's that. And also, people should not panic, because when I first saw this, I was, like, very cautious. People were saying that this is going to be in the movie, and I'm like, that can't be right, you know, because they can't have a lyrical song in the movie. And then after further announcements came out, we now know it's a companion album. So nobody panic, this is not going to be in the actual movie.
No, I'm glad that it is.
That makes me so happy.
No, it kind of makes me sad. Because...
You would want to see this in the actual film?
It's one of those songs where it's so close to the actual movie. Like, it's not just, like, a song that somebody just chose off a random CD. Like, it was written for The Hunger Games. It was written about The Hunger Games with lines from The Hunger Games.
I know. But, like, I don't think any movie... any song with lyrics... will, like, fit at all in this universe, because...
Well, yeah, I agree. That's what that was the one thing I was worried about when I heard that it was, like, a lyrical song instead of just instrumental, because usually having lyrical songs in the background of movies usually, like, ruins the I guess you could say the mood or something. Like, it just kind of, like, distracts you, and then, I don't know, usually lyrical songs in movies never sound good, except for, like, maybe a couple exceptions.
Yeah, pretty much only for, like, romantic comedies, slapstick comedies, and Twilight.
No, not even Twilight.
Like, I don't know, my thought was, like, it would be after Rue's lullaby, when she's, like, putting flowers around her, and then she does, like, the three fingers. And while that would be nice if it was, like, silent with, like, some instrumental violin on in the background... I think it would have been nice just to see this, to hear this song, since it is so much about what The Hunger Games is about. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not being biased here, because if I hated the song, I would be the first to say it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here are a few of excerpts from emails from our listeners about the song. Hallie says, in the chorus of Safe and Sound, written by Taylor Swift, it sounds like Rue's death song a bit, or that scene when Katniss is nursing Peeta back to health. So, yeah, I think that pretty much fits. I do think, you know, it mentions death, but I do think it also applies to Peeta's.
Mm-hmm.
And also, listener Nick says, just wanted to say I think Safe and Sound is going to be a great addition to the movie. It screams Rue and Katniss. It would be a good song to play when they have to sleep in the sleeping bag together. It's been getting so much press. If the Hunger Games soundtrack becomes as big as the Twilight soundtracks, I'm sure there'll be more people interested to see the movie. So, yeah, he makes a great point. I think the Taylor Swift audience, this song will definitely attract them to come see the movie.
Yeah,
and
the thing about... I liked what he said about the Twilight soundtracks, because of the Twilight soundtracks, basically all the artists that were chosen to have songs in there, they all became a lot more well-known after the soundtracks came out. Like, there was, like, CeeLo Green and a bunch of other people who were on there initially before they got really big.
CeeLo Green was on the Twilight soundtrack?
Yeah, he was on New Moon or something. Or maybe it was the third one. I don't remember. I don't remember, but, a lot of the people on there got a lot more popular because of it. I don't know. But they were all, like, indie kind of most of them were, like, indie-ish. Yeah. But anyway, so I think that was cool that he said that.
Yeah, so that kind of leads into the next story. Arcade Fire and the Decemberists have also signed on to record Hunger Games music. So, yeah, this is just more songs for the companion album. And like you said, these are kind of indie... Well, Arcade Fire, not really, but Decemberists, not many people know them. I know them, kind of, from last year. I listened to a couple of their songs, but these are not very... Like, Arcade Fire is a little more well-known, but have you guys heard of any of these bands?
No.
No.
Yeah, see? So, yeah, I think Nick and Elena are right. This is going to shoot them to popularity. And if they have more popular people on the soundtrack, it's just going to shoot Hunger Games up to popularity. It's just going to... Mm-hmm. It's going to benefit someone.
Yeah.
And I do like the Decemberists. Okay. I do like them because I like their sound, so... Hmm. Yeah. So, Elena, what's the next news story?
The next news story is that Suzanne Collins has not been listed as an author to any of the movie tie-in books like The World of the Hunger Games, Hunger Games Illustrated Movie Companion, and The Hunger Games Tribute Guide. So, will we be buying these anymore because of this?
That's a tough one. Okay, so, first of all, do you guys think this is confirmed? Like, she is not going to be writing any of these? Do you think they might, like, add her name onto it later?
That's, like,
or
the
what?
Problem, because, like, did all the people who write it make all this stuff up, or did they actually talk to Suzanne? And, like...
I don't know.
Right. That's the other thing.
So, I think... For me, I need, like, a solid, like, statement from Suzanne saying, oh, why wrote all of this? I just gave it to them. And then I would buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I was most looking forward to was the tribute guide, and now that she's not listed as even... Well, I don't know, maybe she did help them out, but she didn't, like, actually write it. But, I don't know.
Yeah, would you guys buy it even if she, like... Say she didn't have any involvement at all, like she wasn't even... A consultant.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd probably, sorry, like, check it out from the library or look over it in the bookstore, but I probably wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. I saw a really great comment somewhere that was, this is basically fan fiction you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
That's pretty good. I mean, I still think that maybe there's a chance she might be involved in it, but if she isn't, I don't think I'll be picking it up.
That's a waste of, like, paper, space, and money.
Killing the trees.
Killing those trees.
Actually, no. They'll still make a ton of money, though. I feel like people will still buy it. Yes, so we'll see about those as more info comes in. Alright, so let's move into the mailbag. This is the segment where people send in their very own listener mail, and you can comment on our show posts on the website, or you can send us anything at all at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. So, we have a ton of emails this week, and because of that and time restraints, we might cut out some parts of your emails, so just know that we did that. The first one is from Molly, and she says, okay, you are half right and half wrong. Of all things I would remember, it's that I believe in the first book on either the train or the Capitol, Katniss realized that a drink was orange juice because her father had brought a cup of it home for New Year's Eve one year. I don't know if it counts as a holiday, but I think it shows at least they celebrate it. Love the show and you guys. So just about the Katniss bring home orange juice, or Katniss's dad bring home orange juice. Yeah, I think those general generic holidays like birthdays and New Year's, I think those exist because people can keep track of them, you know, no matter where.
Yeah, and they're kind of always there. I mean, like, government every can't really tell you them. You can't. Celebrate New Year's because it's always there. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm making
any
sense,
yeah.
But anyway.
No, I think it exists in every culture and every...
Mm-hmm. So Haley says, hi guys, I have a comment regarding your discussion on the last episode regarding religion. I often wonder about religion in the books that I read, so I'm really glad you discussed it. If any of you have read the book Ender's Game, then you might understand what I'm about to mention. In Ender's Game... Also a dystopian book, religion has been outlawed, and any show of it can get you in trouble with the authority and laws. If any of the people do have some sort of religion, they either keep it completely hidden with the family or, like Ender's mother, completely ban it and desert their own religion. I think this is how religion would be like in Panem. If any of the people still had religion and showed it in public, they would probably be arrested. Most likely, religion became extinct throughout all the districts. Love you guys, Haley, smiley face.
Okay, so...
I haven't read Ender's Game, but that's cool. I own it, and I will read it eventually.
Yeah, she makes great points about like religion being outlawed and completely banned in dystopian societies of... any book. Like, Ender's Game is a pretty old book, so...
Yeah, and I've heard lots of comparisons to The Hunger Games in Ender's Game. Like, not just with religion, but just, like, with the whole book in general.
This next email is from Sally, or comment, and she says, "Hey guys, I love your podcast. I know all of you hate Gale, but I always..." Yeah. But I was thinking... I was thinking about what you guys said about him leaving without a goodbye or apology. Do you guys think it was possible that this was all planned? Geralt intentionally left and gave Katniss a reason to hate him, just so Katniss didn't have to choose between him and Peeta. It seems like a Geralt thing to do. Well, I don't think he would have just taken off. Okay, now that I'm done ranting, I love the podcast and keep the episodes coming.
Okay, I don't hate Geralt, okay?
I do.
I see his side of the story. I mean, imagine if you... were, like, practically in love with your best friend for the past, like, however many years of your life, and then she gets swept off to some other place and is set up with some guy that she doesn't like very much, but she eventually comes to like. Don't you think you would be kind of, annoyed and ticked off because you liked her first?
Yeah, well, but actually, I wouldn't kill her sister.
You had...
Okay, hold on, wait a second. Let's talk about the actual, what they brought up in the email. Wow, I've never thought of that. Do you guys think that he did that just so Katniss didn't have to choose between him and Peeta?
No.
I think it's possible.
It's possible, but I don't really think it was...
I think it's possible, but not probable.
I think he just knew that she was mad at him for killing Prim, and that he would never, anything he said would never convince her otherwise. So.
See, I don't know, because I think we have to go deep into the psyche of Gale's mind to figure, like, do you think he, I don't know how good of a person he is.
I think it's more like he didn't do it because it was easier for her to choose between him and Peeta. I think it was more like, just like giving her a clean break, so his intentions were still to like, for her own benefit, but it wasn't so that she could choose Peeta. It was more like, it'll make things easier on her if I just go and don't come back, kind of thing.
Yeah. So that was a really great insight on the other story of Gale. So the final email of the day is from Julia, and she says, "Love the minisode. I've thought about religion in Panem, but I've never given it a lot of thought. It doesn't seem like there are many books in Panem, so all religious texts were probably destroyed in the Dark Days. The Capitol definitely seems like they want the world revolving around them, but I guess there could be an underground religious movements. Ironic, isn't it? Europeans came to America in the 16th century for religious freedom. I wonder if Suzanne Collins was making a subtle point/observation there. As for the holidays, I bet that they have some sort of harvest festival in D11, but there was some sort of fall festival in D12, but I don't know about the other districts. There are probably more ceremonies than holidays, i.e. weddings. Keep up the great work, Julia."
Yeah, I liked what she said about the Europeans coming to America, and this. I liked that that idea, because whatever theory it was of Alex's about...
Right, the British coming over and becoming the capital?
Yeah, I mean, don't you think that would be kind of, I don't know, in a kind of sick way coming, like, full circle or something?
Yeah, it is, because, like, yeah, they came for religious freedom, gave it a couple of centuries... back to where they started.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and also, I like what she said about all religious texts being destroyed, and, like, all books are being destroyed. I think I've seen this in literature and stuff, but they do, destroy totalitarian rule. They destroy books, too, you know?
Yeah, and,
and art and stuff, so...
And books are kind of, like, the way that people, kind of their connection to seeing, like...
Right.
Like, yeah. Different, like... A book is kind of like a way to see how things can be different other than how things are, you know what I mean? So, like...
They're a window to another world.
Yeah, and so cutting off that idea that there's a better life possible for people, that's kind of like, I guess, what the Capitol would have done. or something.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. And that also applies to religious texts, as she said, so that explains, I also, you know, also explains why there's no religion.
I think that each district probably has, like, different holidays, because they're such separate things. Like,
yeah.
It's like they're all separate worlds, pretty much.
Right, right.
That
yeah.
They probably each have, like, one could celebrate, like, a Christmas-related holiday, and the others won't, or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm, because they're all kind of separate microcosms within their own society. So, because she was saying District 11 could have a harvest festival, and, like, the electricity district could have, like, an electricity festival. I don't know, you know, something specific for each. So, thank you for your emails, everybody. Keep them coming. This was a... We have more emails that we'll read off next week, but there's too many to even count. Well, that's a lie. We can count them, but let's move on to chapter chat.
Okay, so this is chapter 19, and it is the beginning of part 3, the victor in the Hunger Games. And so what you missed last week was that there was a rule change, and now the Capitol has announced that two victors can win if they're both from the same district. And Katniss realizes that it makes sense for her to team up with Wounded PETA and appeal to the sponsors. She also realizes that PETA must have been appealing to the sponsors this whole time with the whole lover boy act. So the people that are left are Foxface, Thresh, and Cato and Clove, who both obviously like this new rule. She knows that PETA must be near a water source after he was slashed by Cato's sword, so she eventually tracks him down in the mud next to the stream, completely camouflaged in the brown goodness. I mean...
Yeah, but I like the scene, though, because it's the infamous, like, he opens his eyes and all she can see is his eyes.
Yeah.
It's kind of goofy.
It's
and, like,
so... Oh, yeah, I love that. He must have brought, like, paintbrushes or something with him to camouflage himself with something. I don't know.
Totally, paintbrushes.
I can't wait to see this in the movie. That'd be kind of fun to watch.
It's, like, really clever, too. I mean, PETA, he's a smarty, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
He's a smarty.
He's a smarty. Never mind. Okay, I'm just being weird. So, where was I? Blah, blah, blah.
He's a smarty?
Yes, okay, whatever. So Katniss sees how weak he is and painstakingly cleans him up with water, removes the stingers from the Tracker Jackers, applies mint leaves to them, applies ointment to the burns, and uses Marvel's fever medicine on him. So, he was really in bad shape when she found him, and I wonder how much longer he would have had had she not found him, I guess.
I think he would probably have died in, like, the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good thing Claudius announced that.
Yeah. So, PETA says he is not hungry, which reveals how very sick he is, and so, Katniss uncovers PETA's gash on his left leg, which was a result of Cato's sword slash, and the gash is oozing with blood and pus, which Katniss takes out, and that sounds like one great fun time. So she mentions that she tries to act like her mother when handling burn victims, and she also says that Prim would have been a huge help at this point.
So I think this is like, you know, we always talk about how Prim would have died in the games, like, immediately. This is one ironic instance of when she would actually have been helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so Katniss is revolted by the pus, but she eventually drains it out and applies medicinal leaves, and she finds that the wound has hit the bone, so that's not good. And I like that Katniss is kind of like, I don't know, she's like really tough and really smart when it comes to everything else, but when it comes to, like, wounds and blood and just all that stuff, she's like, ugh. So, which I relate to very well, so yeah, I appreciate it.
She literally said, like, ew. I'm just like, oh, that's not Katniss.
Yeah.
I also find it kind of cool how this is, like, she's emulating her mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she hates her mother, not hates her, pretty much, you know, like, for abandoning pretty much her family, but this is the one time where she has to actually look up to her to save PETA.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that this is, like, the one time that she kind of appreciates what her mother does, because
right,
she can
right.
see, oh, wow, she really does, I guess she kind of understands and gets a better insight into her mom, I guess, through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So PETA points out how Katniss is Haymitch's favorite, as well as how similar they are, and because he sent her the burn medicine, and Haymitch sent PETA nothing so far. So they eventually find a cave and make shelter, and Katniss feels PETA's head and feels a pang of panic that he's going to die. So PETA then starts talking about how he might die, but Katniss will have none of that and impulsively kisses him. On the lips. Yes.
Uh-oh. On the lips.
Yes, I like how that's all capitalized. So the quote is, "All she can register is how unnaturally hot his lips are from the fever.
Yeah, but I do like what PETA says about Haymitch and Katniss being similar, because I've always enjoyed Haymitch's and Katniss's relationship, you know, character relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I have said before that Haymitch, no matter how disgusting he is sort of a fatherly figure to Katniss. And
yeah, kind of. And, oh,
and
I
they're so stubborn and, like, similar and sarcastic, and it's all coming apparent here.
I like that, because, isn't it said that Prim is more like her mom and Katniss was more like her dad?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Haymitch, I think, is pretty much the exact opposite of her dad, right?
In a way.
Because he's all drunkenness and all the time, right?
Yeah.
And her dad was very proper and, like, nice and kind. And Katniss and her dad were a perfect fit for each other. But Haymitch and Katniss are, like, they're exactly the same. So that's why they clash.
So Haymitch sends her and PETA a pot of hot broth. And his message is clear. So Katniss...
One kiss equals food.
Yeah. So Katniss emulates her father when trying to seem in love with PETA.
Yeah, okay, so Katniss says she tries to act like her father and her mother when they were, like, in love.
Huh.
And when she wants to seem in love with PETA, does this thing where she blows him a kiss and all that. And PETA plays along. And I thought it was... I'm not one for sappy moments, but that was kind of cute.
Yeah, I mean... This kind of, like, is, like, I know a lot of people kind of feel, like, kind of mixed about this whole thing, because PETA doesn't know that she's not completely on board with it. Like, she's mostly just doing it to get through the games, and PETA doesn't know that.
Yeah, she at this point, she completely is just doing it to get for the games.
Yeah, and I mean, I think she has, like, those feelings kind of, like, deep down, and she knows that she does, but she's not actually addressing them. So it's kind of, like, I don't know. Like, some people have... like, problems with it, but, I mean, it's kind of sad for PETA, at least, because he has no idea what's going on, and he's totally, like, he has no idea. Anyway,
oblivious, yeah.
Yeah. So, Katniss kisses PETA again once he wakes up, and, quote, "he smiles as if he'd been happy to lie there, gazing at her forever." He's great at this stuff. And how clueless is Katniss, really? So... yeah.
So PETA is does she really think that PETA's just playing along perfectly and, like, did all the stuff because he's just a great actor? Like, she had to have known it's way too natural to be fake.
Yeah, and here's the thing about guys, sorry, Hurley, but they usually don't catch on very easily with many things.
It's
so
true.
Yeah, it's very true. So, she must not have any idea that he really does not have any clue what's going on. So, yeah. Anyway, so that ends chapter 19, and that's quite a changer in their relationship, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hurley, you have the next chapter.
Yes, ma'am. So, chapter 20 starts off with Katniss spending the cold night sitting and lying next to PETA in the sleeping bag, not knowing what to do about his fever, which is getting increasingly hot. In the morning, PETA's fever is finally broken, and she tells Katniss Clove's name. So I just thought this was kind of interesting that Katniss didn't even know what Clove's name was until now. She just thought it was the girl from Clove, or Kato's district. So... I just think that, like, I thought she would have learned all her opponents' names. Is that a little weird to anybody, or...?
Well, she didn't know Foxface's name, and we still don't even know what Foxface's name is.
Right, right. One thing I thought was weird was, you know, like, the capital.pn?
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook page has, like, all the pictures of the tributes. Even on that, they don't put people's names. It's just, like, District 3 girl.
Oh, yeah, I saw you comment on that.
District 3 guy. I don't know. It just seems weird. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Peeta takes the next watch, and seeing that Katniss did not sleep, he brushes her hair as she drifts off. And she oversleeps, but everything is fine. She wakes up, and Peeta says that he likes watching her sleep because she does not scowl. And this is her... And I was thinking, she... Like, this is pretty much... Like, when she sleeps, it's pretty much the only time her guard is down, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's constantly on survival mode and, like, you know, scowling, as Peeta said. Katniss checks Peeta's wound again and devastatingly sees that he has blood poisoning. And she says that it would be impossible for Haymitch to get medicine for this because, first of all, the medicine is super expensive as it is. And secondly, the price of items go up as the games go by. So I thought that was interesting. As time goes on, I mean, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Items get more expensive. So Peeta sees the wound as well and he handles it fairly well. Katniss comments on how the game makers must be manipulating the temperatures to their extremes during the day and night. So during the day, it's super hot. Night, super cold. And I've made this comparison before. I just wanted to say it again because it really relates to this scene. The Truman Show, it's about this guy who lives on a TV set, and the whole city is a TV show. And I just rewatched it a couple days ago, and it's pretty much like it's like exactly the same. Like, they manipulate the weather, the rain, the temperature, the sun, everything like the Capitol does. Huh. I was like, Hunger Games the whole time. So, watch The Truman Show if you have not. Great film. Anyway, Peeta asked Katniss to tell him a story about the happiest day she could remember. So, I just thought that was kind of Harry Potter-ish when Lupin asked Harry to think of a happy thought for the Dementors.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It was sweet. I liked this. I feel like, this wasn't so much faked by Katniss. It was more like a genuine moment between them, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So she tells Peeta the story of how she got Prim's goat Lady. So the actual story is Katniss and Gale killed a beautiful young buck and snuck it through the gate after dark, and they sold it to the butcher and they got money. But to avoid getting people in trouble from District 12, Katniss says that they just sold her mother's locket. She and Gale see the goat man, and Katniss sets her sights on a wounded young goat. They argue for the price. She gets the goat. Prim's happy. The end. Peeta says that he can see why it made her happy. While she thinks purely about survival and the milk that the goat got, Peeta dryly says, "Yeah, I wasn't referring to the joy you gave your sister." So, Peeta's sarcasm kind of... That seems like a Katniss sarcasm, but Peeta brings it back onto her. So, Katniss says that the goat paid itself over many times. Peeta then says that he will do the same for Katniss as she has helped him. So, I've said this before, but I think this is really apparent in this exchange between the two. The theme of debt in the books, like the districts paying off a debt to the capital in the games, the goat paying off the debt to Katniss and Prim for the milk and saving it, and also Peeta paying off a debt to Katniss for saving him.
And it's, you know, it's so true too, because like basically throughout the rest of the series, she kind of is always mentioning how she owes him, like
specifically
in the third book, like when he's like being tortured to death in the Capitol, and when he comes back, she's like, "I'll never stop owing him," like and there's just like a million different examples. That's the one that just came to my mind, but there's a lot of others where she's basically saying how much she owes him. So, but I liked that. It's kind of like, I'll pay you back that and over again. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's
right.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that. Notice that till now. That's really cool.
So, yeah, and there's also like other stuff like Thresh paying back Katniss for say you know, giving Rua a funeral and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So So Claudius Temple-Smith announces a feast in the cornucopia that will supply each district something that they need desperately and will be in a backpack marked with their district number. And Katniss automatically knows it's the medicine for Peeta's blood poisoning. Katniss tells Peeta that of course she's not going, but Peeta sees right through her lies. He mimics her and then says, quote, "Never gamble at cards. You'll lose your last coin."
No.
Is this Ewan Coyne?
You're overanalyze this way too much.
Okay, no, listen.
It doesn't make any sense, though.
Are there even coins in Pan Am probably in the districts?
Probably.
Do they use coins?
Most likely.
I think so.
Really? Okay, this seems so out of place for me, because why would he have said you lose your last coin? Like, first of all, they don't even have cards.
They gotta get paid with something. They probably get paid with coins. Not it's with people names coin.
Yeah.
If you agree with my theory that coin is a reference to the third book, please email in and...
I think you overanalyze this way too much.
I was reading this at like 2 a.m., yeah, so maybe I was, but...
That's probably why.
Oh, well.
Oh, early.
Oh, I know. Okay, so they keep arguing and come to a stalemate. Katniss wants to leave Peeta and thinks of what would happen if he actually came with her, but Peeta wants to come with her. So she goes outside, gets some air, and gets a parachute from Haymitch. At first, she thinks it's medicine. She gets all excited, but realizes it's actually sleep medicine. At first, she's like, I can't do anything with this, but then realizes that she must drug Peeta to go to the feast.
That's nice. That's just great.
Brutal, but necessary. And yes. I think it also shows how Haymitch thinks like Katniss, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, she mixes the syrup with smashed berries and pretty much shoves it down Peter's throat. She feels guilty as he loses consciousness. And I thought this was sort of a parallel to the Nightlock berries, how, you know, you eat those, you're dead. And Katniss is kind of shoving these berries down his throat, and he's... I don't know, I feel like the berries have a correlation.
Please.
And as he goes to sleep, that ends chapter 20. So, email us any thoughts about the chapters we just covered. You know, if we didn't discuss anything that you would like to see. Or chapters 21 to 22 for next episode, and we'll discuss them right here on the air. So, to wrap up the show, we have a segment called Hurrock, or Hunger Games Rock, where we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think would fit well with the Hunger Games universe. So, April, what's your pick?
My pick is Scarecrow by My Chemical Romance, because I think it's kind of like a metaphor for the Hunger Games. Like, it's, I don't know. It, when you hear the song, you kind of figure it out. But, I don't know, I think it's just a big metaphor. I'm sorry, that's the best okay. I can do.
No, that's fine. Okay. So, alright, thanks everyone for listening. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. Links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can stay updated with our Facebook and Twitter, both at /RRPodcast. And you can also discuss with other listeners in the comments section. Contact us for anything at all at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alina Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
Fight the Capitol, end the hunger, join the rebellion. Knock, knock, knock. Fight the capital, end the hunger, join the rebellion.
Bye.
It's still an awkward ending.
No, we agreed that we after the ending we would not say anything. That's it. That's just the end of it.
Well, I disagree.
we're always the first blooper is always going to be like an awkward ending. Now
I know. Just saying it, it's just an awkward ending because it's just so silent. And then you're just like, fight the capital and the hunger, join the rebellion.
Well, not for, the listeners. For the listeners, it just goes into Scarecrow.
It's so awkward. I'm sorry.
Okay, everyone stop recording.
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone message thing is going on. No,
don't. We'll be right there.
Okay, it's done.
Okay.
Alright. So, yes, please leave an iTunes review. It helps us a lot. Oh no, someone's sending a message now.
Okay. Happy New Year, person on the phone.
No, stop.
I hope this person isn't one of those people that just talks your ear off because they're gonna be in
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
You're so mean.
Is she done?
Yeah, okay, she's done. Alright.
Good.
So, iTunes reviews.
I don't know what you guys talked about last episode, so.
Did you not listen to it?
No.
Glad to know we got some loyal fans.
I was going to, but I didn't feel like it.
Okay, April, you can redeem yourself by reading off the next email.